You're listening to the New Point Community Church podcast. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Well, hello, New Point. Again, I want to welcome you. We thank you for joining us. We're glad that you are joining us because we believe that God has something for you. No matter where you are, no matter where you find yourself, God has drawn you to this moment. Now, we've been talking about this series called Hope in the Dark, and it's been really relevant because we've been looking at a man, his name is Habakkuk, who basically was going through something similar to what you and I are going through. And we learn from his journal because he took it all down so that you and I could be able to experience it when we're going through a time such as this. Now, one of the things that we're going to learn today is this, is that you and I tend to be creatures of habit. We have a tendency to develop routines in life. Would you agree with me? And they can be good. You know, we all have a routine. We have a morning routine. No doubt today you went through a morning routine, the way in which you got up, the way in which you prepared yourself for the day. We have a working routine as well of how we go to work and what we do when we get there. Maybe we fix a cup of coffee. And we have bedtime routines, maybe with our kids or with ourselves. And routines can be great because they simplify life. But at the same time, you know what? They can also hide a lot of stuff. And it can give the appearance that everything is okay when everything is not okay. And routines can be deadly for relationships. You know, you and I can fall into a routine with our marriage, with our spouse, and we can be box checkers. And what happens is that routine becomes very stale and stagnant. We can do it with our kids. We can fall into a routine in the way in which we interact and engage with our kids. And we can do that with friends. And you know what? We can do that with God. And what happens is you can have a relationship that looks healthy, but it's really masked by a routine. You see, routines either build relationships or they break a relationship. And so we have to ask a question. And here's the question that we have to ask. It's this. Is this routine building my relationship with God? See, no doubt all of us here today, we have some kind of routine with God. I don't know what it is, but you have some kind of routine with God. And what I want you to know is that God's not interested in a routine. Neither is your spouse, by the way, okay? What God's interested in is a relationship. He's looking for a relationship. And Habakkuk fell into a routine with God. And maybe you have too. And then all of a sudden, life got flipped on Habakkuk. Change came. And the routine that he had established with God was no longer working well for him. All of a sudden, his routine wasn't bringing comfort and confidence. He was anxious. He was frustrated. He was concerned about everything that was going on. And we learned this from his journal. And so the question is, how do you change from a routine to a relationship? Because I would say, in our most honest moments, that some of us would say that our relationship with God isn't as strong as what we'd like for it to be. That our relationship is weak and distant and stagnant, and that the routine needs to change, that we need to change it up. And Habakkuk is there because Habakkuk fell into the temptation of asking God to join his routine. Have you ever done that? Maybe you've done that with your wife. Maybe you've done that with your husband. Maybe you've done that with your kids because you don't want to change. You want everybody else around you to change. And so you're asking them to join your routine, and it doesn't go over well. At least it hasn't gone over well for me. And God is basically saying to Habakkuk the same thing. Hey, I don't do routines. I do relationships. And I want you to know that you can't manage me. You can't control me. Because I want to be in relationship with you. I don't want to be in a routine with you. I don't want to be in a place of where we're just checking off boxes with one another. I've done this and I've done that. You see, what happens is sometimes your greatest opportunity is when you and I get frustrated. Frustrated with God. Because he won't play our game. He won't cooperate. And what he's basically doing is he's disrupting our routine. He's shaking us a little bit because he wants a relationship with us. He wants a relationship with me. He doesn't want a routine. Because what happens is sometimes when we get in those routines, again, whether it's with our spouse or our kids or maybe a mom and a dad or maybe a boss or a coworker, you know, we say things like this: I don't think you're listening to me. I don't think you care. Are you engaged or are you aloof and indifferent? And maybe sometimes we say that to God. I don't feel like you're listening. This is what Habakkuk said. I don't know if you care. Are you engaged? And yet what I would say is this: God may be saying that to you, because I definitely believe he said it to Habakkuk. You see, God is a jealous God in a healthy way. And he doesn't want you and I to take him for granted. He doesn't want you and I to fall into a routine. He wants you and I to have a relationship that's engaging and vibrant and alive and meaningful. And so how do you move from a routine to a relationship? Well, I want to give you three things that as I read through Habakkuk and his journal, I see him moving towards, and he's moving from the normal, and he begins to experience something incredible, and his relationship with God begins to explode with joy and hope, even in the midst of everything that's going on. And he's experiencing something that only a strong, vibrant relationship can give you. And so let's look at Habakkuk chapter 3. We're going to go through the last chapter. I just want to walk you and I through it because we see incredible truths here. Here's what he says. He says, this prayer was sung by the prophet Habakkuk. I have heard all about you, Lord. And so here we have Habakkuk. He's not just talking to God. He's singing to God. He's singing to God. There's something that has changed. There's something that has changed in his routine. He's no longer just crying out to God. He's singing to God. And he says, I have heard all about you, Lord. And the first thing that we learn from Habakkuk, of where he's going from a routine to a relationship, is this. He went from ordinary prayers to extraordinary prayers. I mean, he went just from the simple prayer to really extraordinary prayers. He was singing. You see, here's what I believe. If you want God to do something that he's never done in your life before, he's going to ask from you something that you've never done before. Have you heard the saying, you know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result? You see, Habakkuk is moving away from his normal way of praying. He's not just offering something to God flippantly. No, he's got his heart involved. He is singing. Look what it says here. He says, this is the prayer sung by the prophet Habakkuk. I have heard all about you, Lord. I am filled with awe by your amazing works. See, he went from ordinary to extraordinary because now he's filled with adoration. I am filled with awe about your works. You see, he's seeing this huge God, this incredible God. And that's what extraordinary prayers are. You don't leave and go to the next thing until you understand how great God is. He says, I'm amazed at your works. That's an extraordinary prayer because you're praying to an extraordinary God, one who is great and good and generous. He goes on to say this. He says, in this time of our deepest need, help us again as you did in years gone by. Now listen, you see, he has confidence in asking God for something huge. You know why? Because he connected with God and he had adoration and he was standing in amazement of God, which gave him the confidence to ask something of God that was great. He says, and in your anger, remember your mercy. And so what's Habakkuk doing? He went from ordinary prayers to extraordinary prayers because he had adoration. He was praising God for who he was. And then he had what? Requests. He was believing that God was going to answer him. He believed that God was going to come through. So let me ask you this question. What are your prayers like? Are they routine? God is good. God is great. Let us thank him for this food. You know, do you have, you know, routines for bed prayers? You know, we just kind of rattle them off. Well, I would encourage you today to go from that routine of just ordinary prayers to extraordinary prayers. See, Habakkuk is going to pray. And prayer is communication. It's connection. It's coming into the presence of God. It's literally having a conversation with God. It's not this, how you doing? Fine. It's not that. And Habakkuk realized that his problems were only going to be solved when he entered the presence of God. You see, what happens so often with us is we want a resolution from God, and God wants a relationship from you and me. And so how many of us today would say, Dwight, I need to confess. You know what? I need to start talking to God and connecting with God and not just saying flippant prayers. God bless me. God help me today. God keep me safe. You say, why do you need to do this? Because prayer is powerful. You and I have the opportunity, okay, to invite God. Not just tell God. He doesn't need to be informed about your situation or my situation. But we have the opportunity to be able to invite this incredible God who's able to do amazing things into our situation. See, I don't know about you, but I need to be in God's presence. I need to talk to my Father so I can build this relationship. And so what I would encourage you today is to go from ordinary prayers to extraordinary. How many of us need to do that? How many of us? It's something that you need to do, but it needs to come from your heart. That's why he was singing. It needs to be more than just talking. It needs to be more than just a conversation. It needs to be a connection. And you know that if you're married, because you have conversations with your spouse, but it's surfacey, and you don't divulge into the deep personal things, your hurts and your fears and your insecurities. And so you don't connect with one another. And so it is with us and God. And so God wants you to be able to have a relationship with him. And the way in which it begins is it goes from ordinary prayers to extraordinary prayers. Let me tell you how that happens, okay? Ordinary prayers, it's letting God be God. It's just letting God be God. It's reminding yourself of who God is. God, you're great, you're awesome, you're incredible, you're unbelievable. And so it's letting God be God. It's more than that though, okay? It's not only letting God be God, but it's letting you be you. Because what happens is you remind yourself, you know what, God? This is who I am. And this is who you are. And I need help. I know I need to be responsible two things and four things, but there are some things that only you can do, and I trust you with that. And so it's letting God be God. It's letting you be you. It's realizing that God is for you, but it's more than that as well. It's not only letting God be God and you be you, it's deepening the relationship. You're being vulnerable before God. You're opening your heart before God. You're saying, God, I'm inviting you into this situation. And you're talking about everything that concerns you. You see, listen, God never gets impatient with you. God wants to hear from you. He's never overwhelmed. He's kind. He's gentle. He's loving. He's understanding. And he's wise. And prayer is also releasing pressure. Extraordinary prayer is releasing pressure. You see, how do you relieve the stress and the anxiety in your life? You see, do you have a valve that you let it release? If you don't, what happens is then you'll release it on people. And I believe that's one of the reasons why we have so much abuse happening today. Because there's all kinds of pressure there. And we don't have a valve where we can release that pressure. And so we take it out on one another. And prayer is how you release that pressure. And then extraordinary prayers is transferring your burden. It's easy. It's easy to carry burdens we shouldn't carry. Yes, you and I need to be responsible for things, but there's some things that God never intended you to carry. They're too heavy. And what happens is when you carry those burdens, you overfunction and you get exhausted and you get overwhelmed. And so what happens is we need to bring them to God. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's your business. But the burden is going to crush you because it's too much for you to bear. And so Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 11. Here's what Jesus says, and he invites you and I. He says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." Jesus is saying that there's things that you need help with, and he's willing to help us. Habakkuk is saying, go from routine prayers, ordinary prayers, to extraordinary prayers. What else does Habakkuk teach us, okay? He teaches us something else. Not only that we can go from ordinary prayers to extraordinary prayers, but we can go from hearing God's word to believing God's word. Wow. From hearing God's word to believing God's word. And what we see here is that Habakkuk begins to paint a picture of what had happened to his ancestors, of how God came and delivered them from Pharaoh's hand, and how he destroyed Pharaoh's army, and he set them free. And he began to read God's word in a different way, not just to hear it, but believing it. By the way, the only parts that you believe in God's word is the parts that you obey. If you don't obey it, you don't believe it. And if you don't obey it, you're not free, because the truth will set you free. And Habakkuk went to a whole nother level with God because he went from just hearing the word, but believing the word, acting on the word. Look at what he writes. He says, "I see God moving across the deserts from Edom. His brilliant splendor fills the heavens, and the earth is filled with his praise. When he stops, the earth shakes. When he looks, the nations tremble. He shatters the everlasting mountains and levels the eternal hills. He is the eternal one." You know what he's doing? He's believing in the power of God. He's reading God's word from Exodus and from the book of Psalms and from Deuteronomy. And he's not just hearing it now, but he's believing it. He's saying that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He goes on and he says this. He says, "Was it in anger, Lord, that you struck the rivers and parted the sea, the Red Sea? You split open the earth with flowing rivers. The mountains watched and trembled. You marched across the land in anger and trampled the nations in your fury. You destroyed everybody, God. You went out and rescued your chosen people to save your anointed ones. You crushed the heads of the wicked and stripped their bones from head to toe." You know what he's saying here? He's talking about the purposes of God. God, you have a purpose, and that is to set us free, to be your people, to be your sons, and to be your daughters. And he's not just reading the word. He's not just having a devotional. What happens is he's literally believing this, and it's changing his relationship with God. He continues and he says this. He says, "I trembled inside when I heard this. My lips quivered with fear. My legs gave way beneath me, and I shook in terror. I waited quietly for the coming day when the disaster would strike the people who invaded us." You remember that? The Babylonians. I waited. What's he saying? God, I'm believing in your promises. Your promises of God. You see, what happens is Habakkuk went from just hearing the word of God, of believing the word of God, of, of integrating it in his life. And he experienced the power of God and the purpose of God and the promises of God. And what we want so often is resolution, and God wants a relationship. You see, we want God to rid us of all the problems in our life, and God wants us to rest in his presence. God wants you and I to know that he loves us, and he's not mad, but that his power and his purpose and his promises are greater than anything that you and I face, that you and I encounter. And so Habakkuk went from hearing the word of God to believing the word of God. And maybe that's for you today. You hear the word of God. You even have devotions. But to really believe it and obey it, you're not there. And so you got this routine. Yeah, I read the Bible. Yeah, I have a Bible study. Yeah, I have devotions. But it's never gotten into your heart of where you're experiencing the power of God, the purposes of God, and living out the promises of God. Let me give you this final one as we wrap up. And that is this. Habakkuk went from a routine worship to a passionate worship. From a routine worship to a passionate worship. Look what he writes. He says, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crops fail and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. You know what he's saying? He is saying that worship is trusting God that he will show up, and I will wait on him until he shows up. See, worship is filling in the gap between God's promises and God's presence being revealed. It's reminding us that God is faithful and that God is good. You see, the opposite of worship is idolatry. And we're told to only worship the Lord our God. You see, sometimes we have a hard time worshiping God when there's no figs on the tree, there's no olives, there's no grapes, there's no cattle in the stall. And what happens is, if we're not careful, we become idolaters because we say, God, you know what? If you'll heal me, I'll worship you. If you'll fix my business, I'll worship you. If you'll do this, I'll worship you. And God says to you and I don't work that way. That's routine. You're wanting to manage me. You're wanting to control me. And God doesn't exist to give you and I idols that neither hear nor see nor have power to act. You see, God does want to heal you. I believe it. I'm excited about it. I hope he does. But even if he doesn't, Habakkuk says, you know what? I'm going from routine worship to passionate worship. I'm going to worship him because he is God. I hope he does bless your business so that you can continue to be generous. But even if he doesn't, Habakkuk says, you know what? I'm not just going to be a routine worshiper. I'm going to be a passionate worshiper. I'm going to worship God because of who he is. You see, Habakkuk is basically saying, I don't think it's going to get better. I don't think it's going to go well. But you know what, God? You've changed me. You've changed me. You've disrupted my routine. And now I'm going to worship you because I realize that you are God. And that's a passionate worshiper. And so he says this. He says, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall, yet I will what? I will worship the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. You see, what happens is when you go from routine worship to passionate worship, you're filled with joy. You're joy-filled because it's not based on the circumstances. He goes on to say this. He says, the sovereign Lord is my strength in the midst of everything going on and his world falling apart. He says, I'm worshiping you for who you are. I'm worshiping you because I know you in a different way than I used to know you. He says, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like that of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. When you go from routine, listen to me very carefully. When you go from routine worship to passionate worship, you know what? You become confident. Though there's no food, there's nothing in the fridge, my business fails, There's no olives. There's no figs. There's no grapes. You know what? I'm still going to worship you, God. I'm going to worship you because I'm pursuing your heart more than, listen to me. I'm pursuing your heart more than I'm pursuing your hand. Routine worshipers pursue the hand of God, what he can give us, more than they pursue the heart of God. And Habakkuk teaches us that if we're going to go from the routine to a relationship, that we need to pursue his heart. We need to pursue his heart. I want to leave you with this quote, and I believe it's powerful. And here's where Habakkuk came to, and it's this right here. God takes full responsibility for the life completely surrendered to him. Routine Christians aren't surrendered to God. People who are engaged in a relationship with God are surrendered to him. And God takes full responsibility of the man or the woman who is fully surrendered to him. And that's where Habakkuk found himself. He started with problems, but he ended with praise. Why? Because he was surrendered to God. And that's where I want you to end up. That's where I want to be. Yeah, I've got problems, but I want to end up saying, God, I know who you are. You're my strength. I stand in awe of you. And for that to happen, I need to go from ordinary prayer to extraordinary prayers. I need to go from just hearing the word of God, of really believing the word of God, and go from just routine worship to passionate worship, to a full surrendered life. And when you do, you know what will happen? You'll begin to sing this song, and the band's going to come and sing it for us. You're going to be able to sing, "It is well with my soul." Yeah, I know there's no figs on the tree. I know there's no grapes on the vine. I know there's no oil. I know there's no sheep. I know there's no cattle. But this one thing I know, God, you're great, you're good, and you're generous, and I surrender my heart. It's the only way for your soul to be well. Would you pray with me? Maybe today you need to surrender and just say, God, you know what? I found myself in a routine with you, and he's disrupted that. He's got your attention. And maybe you need to say, God, I surrender my family, my business, my health, my finances, my kids. I surrender my life to you. And I promise you, when you do that, you'll experience what Habakkuk did. You will rejoice in the Lord, your God, your Savior. And your soul will be healed. Your soul will become healthy. And it won't matter so much what's going on around you because of what's happening inside of you. And so would you surrender to God? Maybe that's your first step. Maybe you've never experienced the forgiveness of God. And you can do that today by saying, God, as much as I know how and as much as I understand, I want you, I need you, I beg you to come into my life and forgive me of my sins. I want a relationship with you, and I want to nurture it, and I want to grow and develop it. And so, Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you're greater than any problem that we have. And though you do solve our problems, you want a relationship with us most of all. And we want to give you that in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.